Hare Krishna. We will continue with our prayer, Prarthana Padati, which is a guidebook which offers guidelines how to pray to Srimati Radharani. But we will read a verse within this, which I would like to read with you. Now, it's not so easy what I have to speak on today, so I just look at my notes. So let me please summarize before we proceed. This process of prayer has four wonderful elements. And therefore it is a model. It has the element of glorification. It has, second of all, the mood of absolute humility, where one's disqualifications are expressed. Then this prayer has clearly a goal. The devotee wishes to obtain love, a loving service. And then in this prayer, this is the fourth element, there is also good poesy or poetry. It's not just a boring, it's very poetic. For instance, if you look at the verse number 1, Sudha Gangeya Gorangin Kurangi Langi Mekshanam. It's always the sound is there. And there are other very beautiful analogies. Srimati Radharani is compared with tens of millions of moon globes and so on. So it is a very good poesy. This is the four elements of this beautiful prayer. Now let us go again to text 5, please. Please look at your paper. Tvamaso yachate natva.
Tvamaso yachate natva.
Vilutan yamuna tate.
Vilutan yamuna tate.
Kakubir vyakula svanto.
Kakubir vyakula svanto.
Jano brindavaneshvari.
Jano brindavaneshvari.
Having offered obeisance, this person, rolling on the ground on the bank of the Yamuna River with mind bewildered, petitions you with a cry of lamentation, O Brindavaneshwari. The Yamuna River is mentioned as being one of the five great personalities who can give us entrance into Vrindavan. The first personality is Giriraj Govardhan. The second is Yamuna Devi. The third is Purnamasi Yogamaya. The fourth is a personality which you all know about, Srimati Tulsi Devi. We pray every morning to her. May you grant me that with my own eyes I can see the divine couple, Radha and Krishna. And the fifth personality is Gopeshwara Mahadev, Lord Shiva. You will be happy to hear that there is a plan that we build a little temple for Gopeshwara Mahadev in Goloka Dham, so that you can all enter the Dham and not be like sometimes devotees were in the past, there but not there. So we hope that by installing Gopeshwara Mahadev, devotees who will visit us will be there and get the milast. Milast means mercy. So here, Rupa Goswami prays to the Yamuna River, Yamuna Mai, very intensely. He rots on the ground, on the bank, and with a mind which is bewildered, he petitions, that is, he asked Vrindavaneshwari Shrimati Radharani with a cry of lamentation. That's the situation. Now in text 1 to text 4, he offers a glorification. If you pray to Radha and Krishna, you should not immediately tell them your heart's desire, but as a rule, you should offer a glorification. You know, you are this, you are that. When you approach a great personality, you should start with a glorification, simply because you are a small personality, and to approach the great personality, it's good to offer a glorification in the beginning. When you pray, this is a general rule, always praise the Lord. as a general rule. So there were several glorifications. It was stated that Srimati Radharani's limbs are more brilliant than the pure gold which you can find at the river Ganga, that her lips and garments were very special. She was compared with the best part of all the gopis, just like a lady will put flowers in her hair, at the top of her body, so to say. Srimati Radharani can be found at the top of the phalanxes. Phalanxes means like huge armies of gopis. And it is described that she is decorated, but not with ordinary gems and jewels, but with celestial gemstones. It was explained that she is extremely virtuous and full of dignity, and her gopi friends were mentioned, and then her power over Krishna was mentioned. It is stated that through a stream of glance from the corner of your flickering eyes, Krishna is bewildered. Maybe I can request Thomas to just go to my room, and there is a Brihat Bhagavatamrita, I believe, on the desk, because I read it yesterday, or it's on the windowsill. I wanted to read you a verse about Srimati Radharani's extraordinary power. Here in this verse, it was stated that she has power even over Krishna, the most powerful. Obviously, like we heard a few days ago, this power is the power of love and nothing else. If you wish to obtain Radharani's lotus feet, it's amazing. You will also not go directly to Radharani, but you will chant Krishna's holy name, because she's most satisfied with someone who chants Krishna's holy name. And I hope when read to you this beautiful verse from the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. You know, sometimes when we hear about Srimati Radharani her extraordinary mercy, the question will definitely appear in our minds: how can we obtain this mercy? Thank you, Thomas. You're saving us. Mm. And there is a verse which I read yesterday. That's where the process is given how to get the mercy of Radha. This is certainly one. It's a prayer. Krishna, I really have to pray that I can find this. Those who wish to become servants of Sri Radha know the art. They know Radha cannot approach without taking shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. Once Prabhupada said, if you just keep a picture of Radharani, he was addressing the male devotees, it's just like keeping a picture of your girlfriend. That is, you will think Radharani an object of your enjoyment because she's so beautiful. You should always know that she's only meant for Krishna. I think we heard this when Radharani came to this planet Earth. She had a condition. Do you remember? The first person she would look at should be Krishna. So here it says, said, how to get the mercy of Radharani. You must go. It's amazing. If you want to go to Krishna, you have to go through Radharani, and if you go and want to go to Radharani, you have to go through Krishna. Because this is, it's very clear. You cannot separate the two. They are one. And if you only go have one in mind, it's not possible. It's almost like I want to give an example which you can understand with your experience. If there is a couple of young devotee married people, then you can't please the one when you are not good with the other. It's not possible. It's not just a devotee couple, but I remember, yes, in our own family, my parents were Gesellschaftsleute at one stage, you know, going to many events and many openings of libraries, of galleries, of you know, being often at the university for functions. You know, my father was a very public figure, a Pressesprecher of the German railway, and so on. And sometimes people wanted to have certain favors from him. But my father was and wanted to be personal with them. But they had to accept my mother, who was a little bit more simple than my father. My father would not deal with anyone who was not good towards my mother. I know there were people who wanted his friendships, but who unconsciously hurt my mother, and my father would not accept them close to them because he thought they have to go, like this is my wife, and they have to be good with him. So something like this. I just wanted to give you an example from this world, but obviously it's much more deep. You cannot have Radha without Krishna, and you cannot have Krishna without Radha. The same point holds true with Gonita. You can't have Chaitanya without Nityananda, and you cannot have Nityananda without Chaitanya, because that's the explanation. Between them is a relationship of deep love. I think this we can understand. Huh? That. So here's a verse for you. Ye sarvanairag pikshena radadas yachava param sankirtayanti tannama tadrisha priyatamaya. The devotees chant Krishna's names and are full of unique love for him, Krishna. Indifferent to everything else. No, indifferent heißt gleichgültig. Gleichgültig to everything else, they want only to become servants of Sri Radha. And here's a commentary of Sanatana Goswami. The devotees of Sri Radha, who is the dearmost beloved of Lord Madan Gopal, are not impersonalists, void of desires. They are fully confident that if Sri Radhika accepts them as her servants, everything they desire will be achieved and more. So they know I need to take shelter of Radharani. The privilege of serving Sri Radha is the rarest goal of life, and it is fitting that this privilege be attainable only by executing the most excellent of sadhanas. No? This privilege of becoming Radha's service requires the best of all sadhanas. That is to say, now we should learn this sadhana, that is to say, one can please her divine grace, Srimati Radharani, only by the sacrifice of purely chanting the names of Sri Rasa Rasika, the hero of the Rasa dance. In sweet voices, the servants of Sri Radha always melodiously and loudly chant Krishna's names. Nice, isn't it? In sweet voices. The servants of Sri Radha always melodiously and loudly chant Krishna's names. Such devotees are worthy to engage in such elevated service because their hearts are filled with the supreme variety of spontaneous ecstatic love for Krishna. So the devotees of Radha must have the spontaneous ecstatic love for Krishna as well. If you wish to read this verse or maybe put this verse in your verse collection, you will find it in the second part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, first chapter, text 21. You can put it in the book. So now we will go to text number 6, where finally Rupa Goswami describes what he wants to obtain from Srimati Radharani. Huh? If you go to Radharani, you don't start by saying, give me this, give me that. First there's a glorification, and then the description of your fallen situation. That came in verse number 5. Huh? He's rolling. He feels very, very, very miserable even. So here it comes now. King Yachase Tatraha. What do you request? And in answer to this question, he says, Kritagas ke pyayog yepi.
Kritagas ke pyayog yepi.
Janesmin kumata vapi.
Janesmin kumata vapi.
Dasya dana pradanasya.
Dasya dana pradanasya.
Lavam apyupapadaya.
Lavam apyupapadaya.
Upapadaya means bestow. And lavam api means even a little thing, a very little thing. But now you might say, yes, 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 but what? What? Please. And the answer is dasya dana pradanasya. Again, very beautiful Sanskrit. The valuable gift of your service. So let me read this beautiful translation to you. Though he may be an unfit offender, with a crooked mind, please bestow a small fragment of the valuable gift of your service to this person. So he says, with almost a shocking honesty, he says he is a sinner. That means, in other words, an offender. He has been very bad. He's unqualified. In other words, he doesn't have any virtue or tugend. And he is poor-minded, a very low mind. That means a crooked intelligence. For this, there should be no no reason for Radharani to give him this most valuable gift. Usually, isn't it, when you want something, you say, I'm extremely qualified. Nowadays, you may not say it like this, but you act as if you are extremely qualified. You act as if you are great devotee and very, very advanced and know better than everyone else. And then you think, you mention all your wonderful services which you have done in the past. I made this. I'm highly intelligent. I have degrees in the Vastu department. Now it's possible. The associate degree of Vastu and something, you know, and so on. Then and then, please, I'm very qualified to receive it. But Rupa Goswami goes the other way. He says, I'm an offender. I have no good qualities, and my intelligence does not work properly. It is crooked. So now. And he wants the highest. Now this is a very good poetic thing. It's called in Sanskrit it's called Vishe Shakti, the mention of a difference. This is very good, the mention of the difference. It's almost like, you know, I'm very unlearned. Very, not at all learned, but please give me an honorary degree in mathematics. So this is a mention of a difference. This mention of a difference is used in spiritual verses very often. I want to read to you one. It comes from the Adi Lila chapter 3. Tvam Shila Rupa Charitai Parama Prakishtai Satvena Satvikataya Prabalai Shashastrai Prakyata Daiva Paramata Vidang Mataischa Naivasura Prakritaya Prabhavanti Bodum. This is a verse by Yamunacharya, the spiritual master of Ramanujacharya, that says, O my Lord, those influenced by demoniac principles cannot realize you although you are clearly the Supreme, by dint of your exalted activities, forms, character, and uncommon power, which are confirmed by all the revealed scriptures in the quality of goodness, and the celebrated transcendentalists in the divine nature. What this means, Prabhupada says, the demoniac mentality is condemned in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, wherein it is said that those who are miscreants and lowest of mankind, who are fools and asses, cannot accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead because of their demoniac nature. They are compared to ulukas. Do you know what is an uluka? No, uluka is an owl, eine Eule. They are compared to ulukas, or owls, who cannot open their eyes in the sunlight. Because they cannot bear the sunlight, they hide themselves from it and never see it. They cannot believe that there is such illumination. Just can't believe it. There's no sun. This is an example. You know, Krishna obviously has such good qualities. His form is so beautiful. His he is such a good character, if we can say it. He's so grateful. He has so much power. And the Shastras and the many transcendentalists confirm it, but the demons just can't see it. You know, they think Krishna is very disqualified. They are like owls who just cannot open their eyes to the beauty of the sunlight. They just can't realize the sun is very big. For them, the sun is maybe the worst thing which could happen in creation, because they are pained by it. You know, if they would open their eyes, they would maybe have a damage in the eyes. I don't know, but it would pain them. So the demons, although Krishna is so qualified, they are just so far down the ladder that they just can't appreciate our Lord. It's not possible, because they are influenced by demoniac qualities. So this is given. Here the reason is given. But in poesy, sometimes when there is such a difference, the reason is not stated. And this makes you very attentive to the subject matter. I want to give you a few examples of this. One example is very intense, but the first is not so. Narada once said to Yudhishthira, "Just see how the wealthy are not bewildered." You know, usually the wealthy people are bewildered, but here is a difference. They are not bewildered. "Just see how the young people are not restless." Usually young people are very restless. They always want to go somewhere else, and they can't sit still, and they need to go on and meet each other. And just see how the strong are not proud. So a cause is given, but the effect is not there. There's a huge difference. Usually the strong are very proud and so on and so forth, but not. And you want to now know, why are the wealthy not bewildered? Why are the young people not restless? Why are the strong people not proud? Do you know the reason? They have devotion for Krishna. Because someone who has devotion for Krishna may be wealthy, but he's not bewildered. I have seen this, you know, in Mumbai. There is one of the richest people of India is a devotee, when you visit him in his house, I mean, it's beyond comparison. It's really a palace. You should sometimes visit the house of Krishna Chandra. It's very easy. You can just meet him and tell, can I visit you? I've heard in a lecture that your house is so wonderful. And he will say, why not? Come and visit my house. It's a palace with, you know, Springbrunnen and everything before it. Here's another one. This is something for married people, but I will nevertheless put it on the tape. They wake up, a lover and his beloved wake up. Dawn breaks, means the sun rises, and the man loses his hold on the woman. It's from poetry, no? From the scriptures. Friends are there and knock at the door. Ping, 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 ping. But still the woman does not stop to embrace her lover. You know, there are causes which should stop the woman to... She should now start to think of dressing and getting out of the house because, you know, they are awoken after a night of love. They are... the dawn is there. The man also gets go. Friends are knocking at the door. It's time to now leave. And you know, they must have been in a hut near the river, a lover's hut, you know. And the woman doesn't stop. Why? It's not given the reason, but the reason is very clear for us. She obviously loves him. That must be the reason, but it's not stated in this verse. And their love is so powerful because they are and even unexpected, because the causes are all there that she should now leave and go home so that she will not be scandalized in the village, but and so on. So this is I wanted to describe this from a poetic perspective. Huh? There is a cause. I am very disqualified. This is and this would mean usually you don't get any mercy. But at the same time, he wants the highest mercy. So now we need to understand why and why does he. By what factor will this become possible that he gets the highest mercy? Do you understand? By what factor? We have given some examples. How is it possible that the wealthy is not bewildered? How is it possible that the young people are not restless? The reason is this mystical wonder, this miracle is possible because they have devotion for Krishna. Now by what factor can Rupa Goswami, or can the person who prays, hope that Radharani will give him the mercy, although he is so disqualified? This will be answered in text number 7. Please chant with me. There is a question. Well, how can this be given, this most valuable fraction of the service, which even Brahma and Shiva don't have, to one who is unfit? And the answer to this is given by Rupa Goswami. So he makes it really spannend, you know. We want to know, how will you get this milost? Please repeat. Yuktastvaya jano naiva.
Yuktastvaya jano naiva.
Dukito yam upekshitum.
Dukito yam upekshitum.
Kripa jyoti dravachchita.
Kripa jyoti dravachchita.
Navanita siyat sada.
Navanita siyat sada.
He says, such a sorrowful person, mitleidserregende Person, such a sorrowful miserable person is not fit to be neglected by you, Radharani. And now the reason is given. For your mind, like fresh butter, always melts by the heat of compassion. And Baladev Vidya Bhushana explains this. This sorrowful person is not fit to be neglected by you, Srimati Radharani, for you have the quality that your mind, like fresh butter, always melts by the heat of compassion. And since compassion is the desire to take away the sorrow and misery of others, and I am full of sorrow or misery, therefore I am not fit to be abundant. This is an example of the poetic expression of cause through words. It is a little technical. It will become clear in a moment. So Rupa Goswami says, this person, Jana, is not fit. I'm very unfit. But I still know that you will not reject me and have mercy on me. Why do I know this? Because I know there is a special quality in your mind. Your mind melts with by compassion. And he says this will always happen, just like fresh butter will always melt when there is a heat. You can make the experiment. We could request Ganga Mayi to bring a piece of butter in heat. I think we don't need to do this. We know it because you are all cooks, you know, but you, only a non-cook would not know this. You are simply like this. You have this one quality that you feel especially compassionate. Rupa Goswami knows, in other words, that Srimati Radharani is more merciful than we are qualified. We may have many bad qualities, but Radharani just wants to take away the misery away from us. In other words, here the cause of Srimati Radharani's mercy is given. She is very miserable. Very, very kind to the miserable. I still have one picture in my mind of where I felt great compassion in my life. It's something which I didn't even see. It is something which was reported to me. When I heard it, I immediately wanted to go and to take care of that person. It was Srishti Kata when we were in the Kartik Vrata in Puri. He once went out to get something which was needed, he came back with almost tears in his eyes. He had seen one scene which made him feel very compassionate. And when he told me this, I also felt immediately desire to help this person. What he had seen is, a dog mother, taking care of her little dog puppies, you know, Hunde, babies, yes. And then the dog mother had gone to do something, and one Indian taxi driver came with his taxi and drove over her Hunde babies, her dog puppies. Maybe not by intention, you know. In India, people don't want to kill anyone else and anyone. They know this, they're vegetarian. somehow maybe by the bicycle came and he had to avoid the bicycle, and you know, Indian roads are not always very I think no European driver would like to would feel very enthusiastic to drive a car on Indian roads. So he drove over the puppies and killed the puppies, two or three. Now, when the mother saw this, she was so pained in her heart. You know, she just came back and saw this, that for a long time she just attacked. She jumped at the taxi, she howled at the taxi, she bit in the taxi to take revenge. She was totally besides herself, and she ran through the whole town. I think Shishtikara went in one direction, and then the taxi came again, and there was still the mother chasing after the taxi driver. She was besides herself with pain. I think we can understand how much pain she was. You know, mother is so much taking care of the child and feels so strong for the child. You have seen just Siddheshwari. She would do everything for her child, and now the child is no more. I mean, has left the body. That's too much for the mother. So when Shishtikata told me this, I immediately took a chapati and wanted to find the dog, because you feel so much compassion. You know, but yes, this is so much misery. We must do something. You know, the heart feels this impulse to immediately help. What would you have done, Ananda Chaitanya, if you would see the mother? You would, Ananda Nitai, I'm sorry. Yes. Nitai and Chaitanya always go together. So Ananda Nitai, you would have also thought, Prema Mahi, let us get some food for this poor dog mother, and let's take care of her in many ways, you know, and solace her, and say, don't worry, children. This was in the dham of Lord Jagannath, you know, your dogs must be, your little dogs must be great souls, and they must be, have gone home to Lord Jagannath. You would have tried to give solace to the dog in some ways, because of who couldn't be, whose heart could not melt by such a misery. So Radharani, this is the idea here, feels great compassion for those who are sorrowful. Now, all of us who are here in this world are very sorrowful people. Do you know that each one of you has a sentence? Sentence is a verurteilung. Tilo, there's the most heavy sentence over you, which you can imagine. Sentence is like, you know, when you are in court and you have a judgment, you are judged already. Each one of you, even our talented astrologer who knows everything in this world and beyond, the sentence is we all have to die. We have the death penalty. Die zum Tode verurteilt sind wir. We are in the prison house of material existence. And you smile about it, but it is not really something to smile. It's intense. You know, how? Let us remember our Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, who's sweating on his chair and is dying, and who says, it's intense. But this is the process. We all have the death sentence over us. There's not one of us, isn't it? And under Nitai you look very energetic, but even you have the death sentence over you. Prema Mayi, you're freshly entering into the Grihastha Ashram, and the life looks very joyful, but the death sentence is there. Please imagine this for a moment. One day you get a thing on your desk. Mr. Ananda Nitai, you have been judged, and you will be killed soon. How would you feel? Really? There's no escape. The Moksha now has been surrounded by people. You are watched. I don't know how you would enjoy your breakfast, prasadam. It's a disturbing thought. I remember when I was called to appear before the judge for half a year. I was just sweating. I was thinking, this is very terrible. How could this is the worst thing which happened in my life up to now? But that was harmless, it's quite a harmless thing. And the judge was very kind, he said, and so on. It was very harmless. But I'm just saying, death penalty is intense. So Radharani is very merciful to us. Her heart is melting with the heat of compassion. So this is very good for us. This is also said about our Krishna. It says there's a verse which says the hearts of the chaste young ladies, the gopis, are absorbed in Krishna, who's deeply filled with all virtues. Krishna is strong enough to lift a mountain, and he wants to bestow all pleasures by removing all distress from his devotees. This is Krishna. He is the wonderful youth who captivates the eyes and minds of everyone, and who thinks only of removing the distress of his devotees. Sometimes the devotees want to keep that distress if they are not yet so much mature. They do not surrender to Krishna, but surrender to their attachments. But as far as Krishna is concerned, he wishes to keep an eye on us, and he wants to help us always. So this is a very nice prayer to Srimati Radharani. I hope I could present it nicely. I think it's something very nice for the month of Kartik, and we can give it. Now I want to give it to one devotee, maybe Prema Mayi. And Prema Mayi, you can do when you can all go to Prema Mayi today, and if you wish to have a copy, she will make a copy. So she will make a list of those who wish to have copies, and then you can very easily obtain a copy by her intense copying qualities. So, Hare Krishna, I have reached the end. Ich würde jetzt sehr gerne in Deutsch weitersprechen. I spoke like this for the tape world, because some of the audience might like to hear this process of prayer, Radharani, and I wanted to give it in one language, in English. Aber vielleicht habt ihr irgendwelche Fragen. Ihr sprecht ja meistens alle Deutsch. Ich glaube alle. Auch Gorari spricht ein bisschen Deutsch. Yamuna, ja?
Zu diesem Punkt, dass man nicht zu Radharani kommen kann,
Ja.
Für mich ist die Persönlichkeit von Mirabai sehr, sehr faszinierend. Ich weiß nicht viel über sie, aber die eine Sache, die mir immer so wieder aufgefallen ist, ist, dass sie irgendwie total nicht mehr als Feind oder Konkurrenz betrachtet hat. Vielleicht kann ich das auch mit Mirabai und ihrer Liebesvorrat von Krishna irgendwie sagen.
Mirabai, ich wiederhole die Frage gerne, es scheint so, dass Mirabai Radharani eher als eine Konkurrentin gesehen hat. Könntest du bitte etwas über Mirabai und ihre Art der Bhakti sagen? Mirabai hatte als Kind schon einen wunderschönen Deity von Giridhari Krishna, dem Heber des Govardhan-Berges. Und einmal, als sie war eine Prinzessin, einmal als sie mit ihrer Mutter, der Königsmutter, so zusammen war, hörte sie auf der Straße eine große Unruhe. Sie stürzte sich ans Fenster und sah dort eine indische Heiratsprozession vorbeigehen. Ihr wisst, wie das geht mit Trommeln und Pauken und Trompeten. Hattet ihr auch so eine Band da, Kalakanta? Nein? Nicht nötig. Ne? Kadala und Kalakanta haben auch in Indien geheiratet, glaube ich, beim Radharaman-Tempel. Ne? Amiya-Nimai-Tempel. Aber ohne Pferde und Pauken und Trompeten. Aber normalerweise ist das so unglaublich laut und hört sich an wie Free Jazz. Ne? Ja. Und Mirabai sah das und fragte ihre Mutter, was ist das? Das ist eine Hochzeit. Ja, was ist denn eine Hochzeit? Ja, das ist eine Verbindung, eine ehrliche Verbindung und zwischen Mann und Frau. Ihre Mutter erklärte so, und du wirst eines Tages auch heiraten. Wen willst du denn als Ehemann? Und da sagte Mirabai, Giridhari Krishna. Und so hat sie das immer gesehen. Und als sie älter wurde, wurde sie mit einem sehr religiösen Mann vertraut und sie hatte aber ihren Tempel und sie verhielt sich Krishna gegenüber wie eine Geliebte zu ihrem Geliebten. Das war, dann verstarb der Ehemann und sie wurde eigentlich gegen ihren Willen noch einmal verheiratet, allerdings diesmal zu einem Mann aus königlichem Geschlecht. Das musste irgendwie aus politischen Gründen sein. Ich weiß jetzt nicht genau, da war eine Anbindung an ein anderes Fürstenhaus nötig. Und sie wurde mehr oder weniger dadurch die sozialen Gepflogenheiten der damaligen Zeit dazu gezwungen. Und dieser Mann war nun der sah Krishna als einen Konkurrenten an. Ich meine, Frau ist so viel mit ihren Dedis und mit den Sadhus und versuchte sie sogar zu überführen und es irgendwie so darzustellen, dass Mirabai, die ja die Sadhus immer empfing in ihrem Tempel, irgendeine Affäre mit den Sadhus hätte. Und dann wurde von dem ganzen Königreich ein Gottestest gemacht. Mirabai musste in einen Krug fassen mit einer Kobraschlange drin. Wenn sie schuldig wäre, dass sie eine illegitime Beziehung mit den Sadhus hätte, dann würde die Schlange sie wohl beißen. Wenn sie unschuldig wäre, würde die Schlange sie nicht beißen. Und so jeder weiß, wenn du in einen Krug rein tust mit einer Kobra, die noch angeheizt ist, wenn du da deine Hand rein tust, dann beißt die. aber wenn das so ein Gottesurteil ist, wie in der damaligen Zeit, da wurde das manchmal gemacht, da bist die Kobra nicht. Da wurde gesagt, okay, sie ist okay. Es ist ein Wunder, was Gott gewirkt hat, um ihre Unschuld zu beweisen. Mirabai ging später, so sagt man, nach Dwaraka und ging dann in den Körper von Dwarakadish, der ein Krishna-Deity im Dwaraka-Tempel ein. Und zwar mit dem Gedanken des Verschmelzens da rein. Ne? Das war nicht so wie Lord Chaitanya, der in Jagannath rein als Körper einging und da ja in dem Sinne nicht eine Verschmelzung stattfand. Unsere Stellung zu der Bhakti von Mirabai ist, dass wir ihre große Anhaftung an Krishna sehr an, also das ist ja bewundernswert, da kann man von lernen. Ne? So ein kleines Mädchen, was sagt, ich heirate nur Krishna allein. Und die das dann auch durchzieht, wenn sie zu einer erblühten jungen Frau wird. Ne? Und dazu noch eine Prinzessin, ist ja unglaublich. Aber was die Philosophie Mirabais betrifft, sind wir in einer anderen Anschauung. Ne? Wir sehen, ich höre das jetzt zum ersten Mal, Yamuna, ich kenne also Mirabais Poesie nicht so gut, deswegen also ist es für mich neu, dass sie Radharani als Konkurrentin so ansieht. Dass ich habe aber vom Prabhupada eben gehört, dass wir jetzt mit der Philosophie Mirabais, dass wir eine andere Richtung verfolgen. Ne? Ich finde, es ist sehr wichtig, dass man, was Yamuna eben gesagt hat, oder den Punkt, den Yamuna gebracht hat, möchte ich ein bisschen weiterbringen. Ich denke, es ist gut zu respektieren, wenn andere, die Bodhis, sich anders auch Gott nähern. Nicht? Es ist aber auch gut zu wissen, wo wir selber stehen, dass wir nicht verwirrt werden in unserem Prozess. Das kann beides da sein. Ich finde es jetzt nicht angemessen, wenn wir jetzt wegen diesem philosophischen Unterschied jetzt Mirabai irgendwie abfällig gegen sie äußern. Das wäre ein Vergehen. Sie ist große Devotee, ne? Also sehr angehaftet, aber sie hat eine andere Perspektive einfach. Gut, danke für die Frage. Das ist, was ich über Mirabai weiß. Sie hat ja ganz viele Lieder gesungen und gechantet. Ne? Anta, ich kenne dieses eine Lied. Antara Mandire, Jago Jago, Madhava Krishna Gopal. Im Inneren des Tempels meines Herzens habe ich einen wunderschönen Platz für dich bereitet. Bitte komm, Madhava Krishna Gopal. Schön, ne? Viel Bhakti. Ananda Nitai.
Bei der Glorification, also das Erste, was man beim Gebet darbringen soll.
Ja.
Da kommt es ja oft vor, dass man einfach so oberflächliche Sachen erstmal so sagt, ja, was man schon tausendmal wiederholt hat. Wie kommt man in dem Bereich dann auch tiefer? Kann man da auch selber Dinge finden oder ist es besser, den Acharyas zu folgen und einfach Gebete zu wiederholen?
In dem ersten Teil eines Gebetes, fragt Ananda Nitai, nämlich der Verherrlichung, ertappt man sich dabei, dass man immer wieder Dinge wiederholt, die man gesagt hat und von denen man wohl annimmt, dass sie auch ein bisschen oberflächlich ist. Wie ist es grundsätzlich? Folgen wir nur dem Beispiel der Acharyas oder können wir auch unsere eigenen Gebete verpassen, also Gebete schreiben. Es ist sehr gut, dem Beispiel der Acharyas zu folgen und wenn wir dann ihren Mut sozusagen haben, dann können wir sicherlich auch selber etwas machen. Guck mal, um Verherrlichung zu auszusprechen, müssen wir ja sicher sein, dass die andere Person begeistert ist. Stellt euch mal vor, jemand würde seinen Guru verherrlichen auf der Vyasa Puja und sagen: Du warst in deinem früheren Leben der beste Fußballstürmer. Nicht in deinem früheren Leben, bevor du zum Krishna-Bewusstsein kamst, der beste Stürmer beim Fußball. Ich glaube, wir spüren irgendwie, das würde nicht so fassen als Verherrlichung. Oder ich sage irgendwas anderes, irgendwas Unwissendes, Gutes, was du für, angenommen, ich würde versuchen, dich zu verherrlichen und würde irgendetwas sagen, was du eher als peinlich betrachtest in deinem Leben, dann würde das eher eine Beleidigung sein, selbst wenn ich es gut meine. Du würdest sicherlich drüber hinwegsehen, auch der wollte, das war jetzt nicht so gemein. Ich habe das schon ein paar Mal gemacht, dass ich die Bodhis versucht zu verherrlichen. Da habe ich fast gesagt, was die gerade ablegen wollten als Eigenschaften. Verherrlichung, das soll zur Freude von der Person sein. Und da wird allgemein, dass man dem Beispiel der folgt. Und dann kann man aber auch, wenn man dem Beispiel folgt, natürlich seine Worte sagen. Krishna freut sich auch. Krishna, das ist nicht so. Krishna versteht uns. Es ist wie so, weiß ja, dass wir stammelnde Kinder sind, deren Sprache noch nicht so entwickelt ist. Der Vater freut sich auch total, wenn das Baby, wir werden das sehen, wenn jetzt Karl erkannt das Baby ist, dann werden sie sich freuen, auch wenn das Baby nur Google, Google sagt. Es hat Google, Google gesagt. Und die ganze Vedenakademie muss kommen und hören, wie das Baby nochmal Google, Google sagt. Ne? Weil das ist okay, das ist jetzt nicht so, dass man von dem Kind jetzt mehr erwarten kann, als Google, Google zu sagen am Anfang. Natürlich, wenn sie dann 20 Jahre alt ist und dann nur noch Google, Google, dann ist irgendwas schiefgelaufen in der Erziehung. So, Krishna weiß, dass wir unperfekt sind. Also beides ist möglich, aber schau, dass du auch aus dem Google-Google-Alter rauskommst, ne? Im spirituellen Leben, dem Alter, wo du noch jung bist und wissen. Das müssen wir, ich glaube, wir alle müssen aus diesem Alter herauskommen. Noch irgendwelche Fragen?
You explain how we should not want Krishna without Srimati Radharani or Srimati Radharani without Krishna. And we have some example, for example, when Krishna would expand himself during the Rasa dance or in the Radha Yatra festival, how every devotee would feel, I'm the only one to dance with him, or the only one who exchange with him, with the Gopas. And how is it legitimate to have that desire to be alone with Krishna, or is it completely a wrong concept?
To be alone with Krishna.
Like they would feel when Krishna would expand, I'm the only one who is dancing now with Krishna.
It's natural to feel like that. Gurahari asks, is it it was explained that we should not approach Krishna without Radharani and Radharani not without Krishna. what is about the desire to be alone with Radha or Krishna? Is this legitimate, like the devotees in the cowherd boys thought they were only eating with Krishna, and there may be other examples. I think in the intimacy of love, that is very very natural. And Krishna responds to this also. We know when Krishna thought, now my friends must be tired from herding cows all day, but they would never ever sleep before me or rest before me. Then Krishna told his cowherd boys, it's very hot, I'm a little tired. You know, he always says, I'm tired or I am hungry, when he really knows his friends are tired or hungry, so that they will stop pleasing, stop herding cows and rest. Otherwise, the cows will say, you know, the cowherd boys would say, no, no, we are not tired, we are not hungry. You know, Krishna would say, you must be tired and hungry, my friends. No, 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 we want to, you know, we want to please. They are so much fixed on him that they even don't perceive their own tiredness and hunger and so on. So Krishna says, I'm very tired, I want to rest. And of course, immediately all the cowherd boys think, hopefully he rests on my legs. And then Krishna, knowing that the cowherd boys want to serve him as a pillow, you know, want to give their legs, Krishna expands himself in as many forms as there are cowherd boys, and unnoticed by the others, lies on the lap of these millions of cowherd boys, millions of forms. And they sing, each one sings, each one fans, and as Krishna falls asleep, they also get rested, you know, they don't have to run around, they're sitting there. They bah, Krishna's lotus eyes, and so on. So Krishna responds to this natural desire to, I want to have Krishna only for myself. And that's why he is called in Sanskrit by Rupa Goswami Akila Rasamrita Murti, the Murti of form of Akila, unlimited rasa. He can really take care of everyone. He can also in this world, Lord Krishna can take care of the needs of Ganga Mayi. He can take care of the needs of Satya and Persia. He can take and be just their Lord, so to say. And Thomas. And everyone. He's capable of doing this. It's unlimitedly. Okay. So it's a natural, seems to be, it's a natural desire in the intimacy of love. One wants to be together with the person one loves and have him for himself, you know, and so that seems to be a normal thing, and whereas a mundane person could never fulfill this need of so many people, Krishna has no difficulty because he's Akila Rasamrita Murti. Sind noch Fragen da? Ja, Carla Kante.
In which the first eight have
She's in the Ashtasakis, in the eight Sakis, just next to Krishna. And, you know, there are eight. Aha! You meant like deities, like maybe Radha, it should be like we worship Radha and Krishna. I'm very sorry. No, I made a mistake. Yes, we have Ashtasakis and Radharani. You're right. It's not that she's included in the... I'm sorry, how could I be so foolish? This was a very... I know better than I answered. Of course. Yeah, Krishna. This was a mistake. Yes. She's there, is Hari. In the chanting, Hari is Radharani. But in the beads. It's a very nice question. My immediate answer is, but this is, I have heard, this is how I think it to be. Radharani is very shy and only for Krishna, you know. It feels wrong to go like you know, on a Radharani beat. But then you could say, well what is this? Does it feel right to go like this on the Ashtasakis? It also feels wrong, you know, and on the other gopis. So it's not a good argument. I'm sorry. I'm not doing very well on your question, Karakata. That's also not a good answer. And, yeah. Please answer ask this question to maybe Bhanu Maharaj would be good to give this answer. I really don't know. Only the Radharani is there in the and the holy name is Hari. She's very much present. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. She's eight times present. Very, very strong presence. Yeah. That's all I know. But yes, the gopis are there. Is she there? Maybe in your feelings of separation. You know? But again, this is an answer which is on a different level than the question was asked, so they don't. It's not a good answer. Don't know. I've never heard anything about it. I'm very sorry, but I'm sure there is an answer. Now I'm very curious also. Maybe when I come back from Vrindavan, I have the answer. We have to learn to see Radha Krishna in the holy name. That's what I know. Noch jemand ohne eine beantwortete Frage? Noch jemand mit einem gültigen Fahrschein, der frageberechtigt ist? No, good. So let us end here. Ich möchte noch eine kleine Sache sagen. Ich möchte euch sagen, ich habe den Eindruck, dass sich da etwas tut mit der Vedenakademie, aber ich möchte euch trotzdem bitten, darüber noch nicht zu sprechen, da wir schon tausendmal den Eindruck gehabt hatten. Nicht tausendmal. Ich sehe das Ganze ein bisschen so. Ich sehe, dass wir in einem Prozess sind. erstmal individuell, jeder einzelne von uns. Wir sind dabei, wir sind jeder auf unserer ganz eigenen spirituellen Reise. Wir sind aber auch in einem Prozess, was die Akademie betrifft, wo Dinge geschehen. Ihr wisst, ihr habt jetzt zum Beispiel ein Riesenseminar, ein Seminar, was so gut besucht ist wie selten Seminare. Ist das richtig, Prima Maji? Das Vasati-Kopra-Seminar? Das ist wie selten Seminar. Das ist schon besonders gut, oder?
Also, aber in 2 Wochen oder 3 Wochen, wo wir die Leute angesprochen haben, da
haben wir noch nie so eine. So ein Feedback, ja. Und wir haben jetzt mehr Devotees an Bord. Ein sehr großer Gewinn ist Ananda Nitai, der eine bestimmte Funktion erfüllt, und Nadia Biharini und Bhakta Priya, die ebenfalls bestimmte Funktionen erfüllen. Ich hörte, Robert macht sich so gut, und Thilo, den ich noch nicht persönlich so gut kenne, also wir, und ja, ich höre, dass Gokrishna mitmachen möchte, und in einer Form, und Jana Jamadi und so, da, also da, man merkt, es tut sich etwas. Ne? Ich sehe auch, dass die Pflanzen alle besser drauf sind als vorher. Das fällt mir auch auf. Fällt euch das auch auf? Das kann man wirklich sehen. Da ist, auch in meinem Zimmer ist die Pflanze, hat sich total erholt. Also da tut sich was. Man sieht es auch. Der Eingang ist versperrt worden. Also das ist ja, also man kann sich, Krishna arbeitet, er macht da irgendwas an uns. Merkt ihr das auch? Ne? Das sind Veränderungen, die wir nicht unmittelbar einberufen haben, wo wir uns nicht so als Ursache sehen können. Da fragt man sich natürlich, wer ist die Ursache dieser Veränderung? Und die Antwort für die Devotees ist klar, Krishna. Es sind auch sehr schöne Erfolge da in dieser Sache, und ich sehe zum Beispiel, dass Radhanand Maharaj sehr gerne mit uns zusammenarbeiten möchte, und das sind ja sehr einflussreiche Persönlichkeiten. Ich meine, er ist mein guter Freund, aber er ist ja eine große Persönlichkeit in der Welt, einer, der schon sich Dinge überlegt und so. Und Indra Dumna Maharaj, der ja auch ein großer Prediger ist, die sind ja nicht irgendwelche, sagen wir mal, unreife Persönlichkeiten oder Devotees, die das anerkennen, diese Arbeit, die wir tun, und die das selber in ihr Predigen mit aufnehmen möchten. Wir sind also ich sehe das so ein bisschen so, Krishna schiebt uns, ohne dass wir das vielleicht merken, und ohne in eine bestimmte Richtung. Und ich habe also gestern zu Gadata gesagt, zum ersten Mal seit diesen, ich glaube, wir sind jetzt im Gespräch seit, also er sagte 3 Jahren, ich kann mir sowas ja nicht merken, es kommt mir ein bisschen lange vor. Ich meine jetzt, wir sind immer im Gespräch, aber so spezifisch Zusammenarbeit mit der Vedna Academy. Ich habe ihm gesagt, ich spüre zum ersten Mal seit dieser langen Zeit, dass etwas konkret werden könnte. Und Ganga Maji ist nicht frei von Hunger. Kein Problem. Wir sind in der Familie, keine Magie. So, es ist jetzt die Frage. Ich möchte euch ganz herzlich bitten, zu bemühen, die Arbeit, die ihr zu tun habt, in eurem eigenen spirituellen Leben zu machen und nicht zu ignorieren. Ich weiß eins ganz sicher von Goloka Dham und von meinem Leben. Wenn ein Devoti oder wenn Devotis etwas Höheres erreichen wollen in ihrem spirituellen Leben, dann werden sie immer geprüft. Das ist so. Ich möchte euch das Beispiel geben. Habt ihr gehört, dass eine kleine Spannung auf unserem Projekt existiert mit Daily Department und Projektleitung? Ne? Und das hört man bis hier. Ja? Am Rande, ja. Und ich sehe in dieser Spannung eine einzigartige Möglichkeit, dass jeder der Devotis dort ihre Lektion jetzt lernen können. Die Spannung hat sich richtig konzentriert auf ein sichtbares Objekt, also dass selbst die nicht so spirituell sensibel sind, merken können, es muss was geschehen. Ne? Ich kann mir gut vorstellen, dass auch hier in der Vedenakademie jeder Devotis, sagen wir mal, noch Anforderungen oder Aufgaben vor sich haben. Vielleicht mehr. Ich sehe jetzt keine Spannung bei euch. Das ist relativ harmonisch bestimmt, sind ein paar Klang. Man braucht da jetzt nicht drüber zu sprechen. Da ist also nichts Großes da. Oder wenn da was Großes war, gibt es räumliche Lösungen dafür und so. Also ich bin allerdings nicht so in. Ich kann nicht darüber so gut sprechen, weil ich hier jetzt nicht so gerade so super informiert bin. Also ich will mir darüber jetzt kein Urteil erlauben. Vielleicht sind ja doch Spannungen davon, die ich nichts weiß im Augenblick oder die noch nicht gelöst sind. Anyways, was immer es ist, ich würde euch sehr gerne bitten, euch mal zu fragen, wo ihr noch arbeiten könnt in eurem spirituellen Leben. Denn das ist einfach ein Naturgesetz. Wenn du auf eine höhere Ebene willst in deinem Leben, dann musst du was Niederes aufgeben. Wisst ihr, wie ich meine? Das ist einfach überall so. Ne? Angenommen, jemand will studieren, dann muss der Zeit ins Studium geben und aufgeben, dass er immer, vielleicht muss er einen Sommerurlaub aufgeben, nicht? Oder irgendwas anderes aufgeben. So, ich denke, unsere Vedenakademie wird langsam wie ein Fluss, wie ein Boot auf einem Fluss, zu einer sehr interessanten Wegstrecke gezogen. Und um in dieser Wegstrecke dann auch richtig beizutragen, denke ich, ist es wichtig, dass wir uns ein bisschen bemühen um unsere Qualifikation. Ich spüre nämlich, wenn wir das nicht tun, wird irgend so ein Test kommen, peng, und dann werden wir es die harte Art erleben müssen, wie jetzt in Goloka Dham. Das ist nicht einfach für einige Devotees im Augenblick. Dann werden wir auf die harte Art lernen müssen. Also ich sage es deswegen aus Zuneigung zu euch allen, lieber auf diese andere Art, dass es gut ist. Krishna erwartet von seinen Devotees einfach, dass sie lernen und bereit sind zu lernen. Sonst kommt es auf die intensive Art. Das klingt jetzt aber so bedrohlich. Also das will ich überhaupt nicht. Also das ist, was ich tun möchte, ist, ich möchte euch ermutigen, da ich glaube, dass eine sehr große, dass wir endlich dahin kommen, wo wir hinkommen wollen mit der Vedenakademie. Nicht? Also so möchte ich das sagen. Ich wollte jetzt euch nicht, das klingt ja so, ich shape up, werdet besser, sonst gibt's eine Katastrophe.
Katastrophe oder so. Also, versteht ihr, was ich sagen möchte? Ist, arbeitet bitte mit Krishna zusammen, indem ihr schaut, wo ihr einfach euch vielleicht mehr vertiefen könnt oder was immer ihr an individuellen Herausforderungen habt, erwachsener zu werden oder was weiß ich, was bei euch angesagt ist. Ne? Krishna braucht gute Instrumente. Deswegen sagt er, die Devotis sind wie meine Arme in dieser Welt. Sagt er. Die Devotis sind Krishnas Arme, mit denen er was arrangiert. Ne? Durch die Devotis hindurch, habt ihr bestimmt schon gemerkt in eurem Leben, hat Krishna euch ja schon viele Signale gegeben. Nicht? Die Bodhi, ihr habt die Bodhis getroffen in eurem Leben und dann haben die zu euch gepredigt und haben euch engagiert im Devotional Service und habt dann an der Mission dann auch selber teilgenommen. Also macht ihr ja immer noch. Also, ja. Ich habe also ein sehr positives Gefühl. Habe ich immer, muss ich haben, aber in diesem Fall ist es, glaube ich, nicht einfach nur so der Swami-Optimismus, sondern man sieht einfach Zeichen, die da sind. Jetzt habe ich das zweite Mal das intensive Knochen eines Magens wahrgenommen und sehe, das war von Thomas diesmal, ne? Und sehe jetzt unüberhörbare Zeichen, dass dieser Teil der Vorlesung zu Ende gekommen ist. Wir können hier nicht grausam zu den Devotees sein. Ne? Ich bin nämlich auch schrecklich hungrig, also ich bin in der gleichen Situation. Also ich möchte euch jetzt inspirieren, ein gutes Frühstück zu euch zu nehmen. Nach Ekadasi. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.